Today's lesson is going to be on salvation by faith. And we're going to look at what it means to be saved by faith. John 3:16 through 18 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Everyone claiming Jesus Christ as their Savior agrees that belief or faith is essential to one's salvation. Hebrews 11:6 teaches us that without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. We must have faith. We must believe in God, and we must believe that Jesus Christ is His Son. Nobody I know of questions the fact that faith is essential for our salvation. But in the ranks of those who claim Jesus Christ as their Savior, there is disagreement as to whether anybody must do any more than believe in order to be saved. Much of the denominational world believes and teaches that a person is saved when they only believe that Jesus is the Christ. They teach that salvation is by faith only or faith alone. They teach that all a person has to do to have the salvation that Jesus offers is just to believe in Jesus and to believe in Him for who He is. In fact, many believe that it is wrong to teach that salvation is dependent upon any act of obedience on their part. They teach this because they really do believe the Bible teaches that. And it is true that Jesus says in John 11:26 that whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. And years later in Acts 16:31, Paul told the Philippian jailer to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Now the question is, in the biblical sense, what does it mean to believe? Those who think and teach that we are saved at the point of belief have concluded that belief in these verses means belief only, or faith alone. When they read these verses and ones similar to these, they add in their minds the word only. In their understanding, they believe that John 3:16 means that whosoever only believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. When they read Acts 16:31, what they hear in their mind is Paul saying, only believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you and your house shall be saved. The word only is not there, but that is how they understand those verses. But salvation by faith and salvation by faith only are two completely different things. Just like playing football with a quarterback and playing football with a quarterback only are two different things. All football teams play with a quarterback, but none of them play with only a quarterback. There are other players on the field. There is a big difference between being saved by faith or belief and being saved by faith only or belief only. Just as much a difference in that as there is with me to play football with a quarterback only and play football with a quarterback. So the question now is, in the Bible, does saved by faith mean saved by faith only? You might be surprised how easily that question can be answered, because that is a question that we can put to the test. One of the rules of language interpretation is that when a word is properly defined, its definition can be substituted for that word in a sentence, and the sentence would convey the same meaning, and it would still make sense. For example, if I define a shoe as an article of clothing for the feet, and then take the sentence, "I sell shoes," then I should be able to substitute that definition for the word shoes. I could then say, "I sell an article of clothing for the feet." The sentence still communicates the same meaning and makes sense because a proper definition was substituted for the word. This is very simple and effective means of putting the concept of salvation by faith only to the test. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read of the men and women who displayed great faith during their lives. Hebrews chapter 11 is often referred to as the Great Hall of Faith. The people listed in this chapter of Hebrews are the biblical poster children of faith. Inspiration specifically named them as shining examples for us to live by. If anybody throughout biblical history could have been saved by faith only, surely it would have been this list of the heroes of faith. So if in the Bible faith can be properly defined as faith only, we should be able to substitute the word faith for the words faith only, with the words faith only, and the statements therein should still make sense, and they should still mean the same thing they meant before. Let's start with the very first hero in the Hall of Faith. Hebrews 11, verse 4 reads, "By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." Now, if faith really means faith only, then we should be able to read this verse as, "By faith only, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." Abel did not just think about that sacrifice and it happened. Abel did not simply believe and have his sacrifice just suddenly appear out of thin air. Abel had to kill and he had to prepare that sacrifice. We don't see inspiration handing out any accolades for Cain. Cain obviously believed in God, yet his sacrifice was rejected. If Abel's sacrifice had not have been done properly, meaning by faith, then he would not have been mentioned in Hebrews 11 as one of the great people of faith. He indeed offered his sacrifice by faith, but he certainly did not offer that sacrifice by faith only. The sentence no longer makes sense when you substitute the definition of faith only for the word faith. How about Noah in verse 7? If faith really means faith only, then this verse would properly read, "By faith only, Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his household." Does that make any sense? We know very well that the ark did not just appear there because of the faith of Noah. That ark required a lot of gopher wood, tools, and a century of hard labor. It was not by faith only that that ark was built. Let's look at Rahab in verse 31. If faith means by faith only, then this verse would say, "By faith only, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she received the spies and took care of them and protected them." From the story in the Old Testament, we know that Rahab, at great personal risk, received those Israelite spies into her home. What prevented her from perishing with those who did not believe was more than just her belief. She was saved from destruction because of the care she took of those Israelite spies. Without the action she took towards those spies, she would have died along with everyone else. Her salvation was not by faith only. So faith in Hebrews chapter 11 does not mean faith only. When we try to plug faith only into those sentences, they cease to make sense. So many passages in the Bible say we are saved by faith. So many passages say that if we believe, we will be saved. Many people who teach we are saved by faith only make the claim that if we are not saved by belief or faith only, then God lied to us. But the difficulty with that is, if we are indeed saved by faith or belief only, then Jesus lied to us when he said in Matthew 7:21 that only those who do the will of the Father will enter the kingdom of heaven. We know that Jesus cannot lie in either event. So there must be a relationship between belief and obedience in the Bible that goes beyond faith only. And to illustrate that, we're going to start with a hypothetical story. And when this story is finished, we are going to ask and answer three questions. Now remember, this is a hypothetical story. My son comes running into the house one day, breathless and excited. He says, "Dad, Dad, there's a man in the truck outside in the driveway, and he's giving away free money. And he says you can have all you want. It's free for the asking. And he says all we have to do is bring an empty box, and he'll fill it up with money for us." This is a hypothetical story. I look at my son and I say, "Son, what have I told you about all those video games and television shows you've been watching? That stuff's going to rot your brain." But he insists that it is true, and I give him my very best, yeah, right, look that I can muster. I'm not even going to bother to go outside and see for myself, and I dismiss my son with a wave of my arm. So my son then says to me, Dad, if you will just believe me, we can be rich. So after thinking about it and realizing that I'm not rich and that I'd like to be, I grab a big empty box and I go out there to see for myself. And I get my box full of money out of the deal. Interesting statement that my son said to me, Dad, if you will just believe me, we can be rich. Now the three questions we want asked and answered are, number one, when I believed and said that I believed, was I rich? No, I wasn't. I still had something I had to do. My belief in my son was worthless until I acted on that belief. So when I grabbed my box and headed out the door, it could be rightfully said that by faith, I grabbed my box and went outside to get the money. Just like the biblical heroes of faith mentioned in Hebrews 11 acted by faith and not by faith only. I did not grab the box and head out the door by faith only. If I had not gone outside with the box, then I would not have gotten the money, and it would have been because I did not believe my son. Keep that in mind. We're going to develop on this a little more in a few moments. Number two, did my son lie to me when he said, if you'll just believe me, we'll be rich? No, he didn't lie to me. In the story, my son had the real expectation that if he could convince me that the man was outside and giving away money, that I would do what was required to get it. Why wasn't that a lie? He said, if you'll just believe me, you'll be rich. I was not rich when I just believed him. So why was that not a lie? It wasn't a lie because of the way we use the word believe. In the story, my son had the reasonable understanding that if I believed him, that I would take the necessary steps to get the money. My son knew the actions were easily within my capabilities. He knew the money was right outside, and he knew the reward was enormous. Getting the money was easy. The difficult part was getting me to believe him. The conclusion anyone would reach is that if I could be made to believe, then the required actions would immediately follow, and I would be rich. That's the way my son used the word believe in the story when he said, if you'll just believe me, we'll be rich. In the stated need to believe, the taking of any necessary action is understood. Let's say it again like this. In the stated need to believe, the taking of any necessary action is implied. Action was implied by my son when he said it, and action was understood by me when I heard it. That is exactly the way we use the word believe many times today, and it is exactly in that same way that we find the word believe used in the Scriptures. With the enormous blessings that awaited and the relative ease of their attainment, those who preached the gospel knew that if they could get others to believe and have faith, then they would readily and quickly do whatever they needed to do to lay hold on the promised salvation. Faith does not obtain the reward until it has taken the understood, the implied actions. Faith will obtain the reward, but only the right kind of faith will. Faith only will not. The faith that saves is the faith that does something. In Galatians 5:6, Paul says the faith that avails is the faith that works by love. By love means because of love. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, in John 14:15. We have another thought to consider that is very significant. Everyone mentioned in the Hall of Faith did something to obtain their blessings. So when we try and go back and plug the words faith only in for the word faith, it doesn't make any sense. They did not get any kind of blessing the moment that they believed. Only when they obeyed by faith. By faith means because of their faith. Their honor, their justification, their salvation came only when they obeyed God because of their faith and not before. For example, earlier we considered Rahab. Hebrews 11:31 says that by faith the harlot Rahab did not perish. Rahab is also used as an example by James in chapter 2, verse 25. James explains Rahab's salvation in words that are difficult to misunderstand. In James 2:25, he said, "Likewise was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way?" The writer of Hebrews indeed said that Rahab was saved by faith, but James tells us when her faith saved her. Faith brought salvation when she acted and not a moment before. In a very similar way, Paul says in Romans 4:9 that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. But again, James speaks of Abraham too. And James tells us exactly when that favorable accounting occurred. In James 2:21, James says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar?" Faith produces salvation. There is no doubt about that. But the critical question must be asked and answered is, when? When is it that faith produces or brings salvation? And the answer is, when faith obeys, and not a moment before. The faith without works, the faith that does not obey, is dead. And a dead faith will not produce a living soul. And in opposition against those who would advance the faith-only doctrine, James says in chapter 2, verse 19, "You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." The demons believe, but they failed to take the necessary actions of obedience. The question is, do we want to spend an eternity with those people who only believed? And then so clearly James makes his point in verse 24 when he says, "By inspiration, you see then how by works a man is justified and not by faith only." Some people are confused by that verse because the word works is used in the Bible in a number of different ways. Sometimes the word works is used to describe things done under the law of Moses. Sometimes the word works is used to describe things that man might devise for himself to do. But sometimes the word works is used in the Bible to refer to acts of obedience to God's will. And it is in this way that James uses the word here. "You see then how by works a man is justified and not by faith only." What did the Hebrew writer teach by inspiration in chapter 5 and verse 9? "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." What did Peter say to Cornelius at the conversion, at his conversion, as recorded by Luke in Acts 10:35? "But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Paul says in Romans 6:17 and 18 that the Romans were set free from sin by their obedience to the doctrine. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:22 that the Christians had purified their souls by obeying the truth. Time after time in the Scriptures we are taught that salvation is dependent upon obedience. We cannot be saved without obedience. Our salvation is indeed by faith. But that word faith in the Bible does not mean faith only or faith alone. There is no verse in the Bible that says that. And there have been a number of Scriptures presented so far that demonstrate that it does not mean that in any way. Faith saves, but when does faith save? Faith saves when faith obeys. Remember the hypothetical story where I got rich when I believed my son? Remember that I said if I had not gone outside with the box that I did not believe my son. Does the Bible contrast obedience and belief in that fashion? Does the Bible ever say someone who does not obey did not believe? Peter wrote of belief and obedience in 1 Peter 2:7 and 8. "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Or unto also they were appointed." Peter draws a contrast between those who believe and those who do not by being disobedient. Peter equates belief as the opposite of disobedience. Therefore, Peter had the reasonable understanding that those who believed would take the necessary steps to get salvation. A study of Hebrews 4:9-11 reveals some insight as to the nature of biblical belief. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The Greek word used for unbelief is apatheia, which means rebellious disbelief. That's the word where we get apathy from today. We see that those whom the Hebrew writer is addressing are instructed to labor lest they fall into an example of unbelief. So we see from this example it requires effort or a commitment of oneself in order to avoid biblical disbelief. It also requires the same to believe. Simply stated, those who are labor are true believers, and those who fail to labor fail to believe. Those who fail to obey fail to believe. In the hypothetical story we used as an illustration, I believed my son and acted. If I had not acted, it is obvious that I would not have believed him. In the same sense today, if we believe Jesus Christ and act, we will obtain the blessings. If we are going to believe Jesus and believe in him, then we are going to have to believe all of his teachings. If we are going to believe Jesus Christ, then we have to believe it all. We can't pick and choose what we want to believe and what we don't want to believe. We cannot accept Jesus as our Savior and King, but refuse his teachings. Jesus Christ said himself, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Then he went on to teach the parable of the foolish builder who failed to obey, thus building his house on a sandy and uncertain foundation, and then the wise builder who, because of obedience, built his house on rock. Luke 6:47-49, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will shew you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Do we believe Jesus' teaching about the wise and foolish builders? If we reject Jesus' teachings, and we obviously don't believe him, how can we believe in Jesus but not believe in his teachings? We cannot believe what we want and reject the rest. It doesn't work that way. If we're going to believe in Jesus, then we must believe all of his instructions. In the account of the wise and foolish builders, as recorded by Matthew, Jesus introduced the parable by saying, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." In Matthew 7:21, people who simply believe that Jesus is who he said he is will cry, "Lord, Lord." They know who he is. They know what he did for us. They know and believe in him for who he is. But those who fail to obey him believe in the man, but not in his teachings. And Jesus taught in the parables of the wise and foolish builders that only those who do his will have built their houses on rock. Jesus said that. Do you believe him? You believe he meant what he said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father." Do you believe that? If you don't, then you're guilty of unbelief. Jesus taught in Matthew 10:32-33, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Do we believe that we must confess Jesus before men in order to be confessed by Jesus before God the Father? Do we believe that Jesus meant what he said when he said that? If we do, then we cannot believe in salvation by faith only, because faith only has no room for any act of obedience whatsoever. Salvation by faith only is either salvation without nothing but faith or belief, or it isn't. There's no middle ground. Either you believe Jesus requires the act of confession, or you don't. And if you don't believe confession is required, then you do not believe something Jesus taught. And we are then, therefore, guilty of disbelief. Jesus taught in Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Do we believe that we must repent in order to be saved? Can we continue in our sinful lives and live without repentance and expect a home in heaven? If we believe we must repent, then salvation cannot be by faith only. Because salvation by faith only has no room for action. Repenting is doing something. If we are saved by faith only, then we can be saved without repentance. Do you believe Jesus' teachings that we must repent? If you do not, and you insist that our salvation is by faith only, then you do not believe something Jesus instructed and are therefore guilty of unbelief. Jesus taught in Mark 16:16, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Do we believe Jesus? Do we believe everything He instructed? And if we do believe Jesus, then we must believe that baptism is necessary in order to be saved. If we do not believe that baptism is necessary, then we fall into the second group of individuals mentioned by Jesus in Mark 16:16. Those who do not believe will not be saved. We already know from Jesus' teaching on confession and repentance that salvation is not by faith only. Why would baptism be any different? If we are not baptized, then we do not believe and we will be condemned. We cannot claim Jesus as our Savior and claim we believe in Him if we do not believe His instructions. If we do not believe in His instructions, then we do not believe Him. Jesus isn't done instructing us yet. Salvation is not by faith only. Salvation requires belief, repentance, confession, and baptism. That is not faith only. Faith only salvation, if it were true, would come without any of the above mentioned acts of obedience from the mouth of Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus had more instruction to give. We saw in Matthew 28:19 that Jesus commanded baptism for every man on earth. He wasn't finished. He had another instruction on the heels of baptism. Jesus went on to say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. If obedience is commanded, surely it is expected. When Jesus addressed the church in Smyrna, He gave this instruction, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. In Revelation 2:10. If any Christian in any church anywhere in the first century had to remain faithful unto death, then they all did. And if they did, we must be faithful unto death today. John taught that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. This is a conditional statement. John began it with the word if. In a conditional statement, if the condition is not true, then the results will not be forthcoming. If we do not walk in the light, live faithfully, there will be no fellowship with God. There will be no ongoing cleansing of sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. What this means is that salvation is not by faith or belief only. Faith saves, no doubt about it. Those who believe are saved, no doubt about it. But not until that faith or belief has resulted in obedience to God. Faith saves when and only when faith saves. Grace saves, no doubt about it. But grace does not save until faith obeys. If there is anyone here who believes that is not obeyed, then you are not saved. By faith, the heroes in Hebrews 11 obeyed and they received the blessings when they obeyed and not a moment before. By faith, each and every one of us must hear. We must listen to the Word of God. By faith, we must repent of our sins and turn to Christ. By faith, we must confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God before men. By faith, we must submit to baptism into Jesus Christ in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of sins in the name of the Father and in the Son and of the Holy Spirit. By faith, we must live an obedient, faithful life, walking in the light as Jesus walked, remaining faithful until our last accountable breath of life on earth. These instructions came directly from the mouth of Jesus. If we do not believe these instructions, then we do not believe Jesus. If you are and you have not been baptized into Jesus Christ, or if you have and you have not walked in the light faithfully, and you need the prayers of the congregation, then I urge you now to take this opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ. If you are there and you have not believed in and obeyed the gospel, then why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. If not at this invitation, then please stay after services and let your need be known. Behold, here is water. What doth hinder you to be baptized? Today is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Whatever your need is at this time, please let it be known. Your friends, your loved ones here stand ready and eager to assist you. Come now as we stand and sing the invitation.